Okay, now it's time for a little fiction. Marianne Apostolides kicked off our Department of Narrative Studies in 2009 when we published Swim. Since then, we've been growing our eclectic line of literary fiction, and now with the help of Malcolm Sutton, who's going to be editing 4 books of fiction a year for us, we will just keep on moving through that territory. But it was Marianne who got things started, and then she followed it up with Voluptuous Pleasure in 2012, and in the fall, we'll be releasing her new novel, Thrum, which she finally sent us the final draft of today. Hip, hip, hooray. Okay, please welcome Marianne Apostolides.
Thank you, Jay and Hazel. Thank you for putting together this evening and for giving me my literary home. I'm going to read from Swim. She swims. She knows now her knowledge given to physical awareness, arrived at through passage, she knows already. She will never be healed by this immersion, not after all she's done, undone these last 2 years. She'd have to gulp the whole goddamn pool. She swims past him, he whose body displaced water through force, his stroke onto her who swims in challenge, engagement, he's gone. Sorry, she murmured. She was seated then on the blue tile floor, that aisle in the library's depth, underground among the stacks. Sorry, I'm in your way. Pen on lips, legs crossed, books spread, reading some theory, expansive, expanding. I'm in. Barth threw himself into interpretative writing the way others throw themselves into music, with a sense of going against the natural, against natural language, which seemed false to him or seemed to conceal the deceitful unsaid. In doing so, he made ultra or infra-linguistic laws more fully his own, laws he considered indispensable to the human condition, linguistic rules conveying not only the laws of meaning, but also the body beneath meaning. She was conscious of herself as merging with words made conscious by him whose motion drew her out. No, it's okay, he said. I'm where I need to be. Conveying not only, but you should be 2 aisles over. She looked up, abrupt. The assignment's due next week. She smiled from his presumption, his assumption already of the right to command. Hello, professor, she said. She approaches the wall, the boundary defined, and counts unconscious, keeping track of her lapse while recalling scenes from elsewhere. Inside, she recalls he didn't reply, but touched instead across the spines, pausing, continuing, till he came to the book he wanted. He slid that object from its sequence, smooth. She heard the sound, its binding easing, opening to be read. She swims, taking air fast in rhythmic breath and words. This mirage of the body always shimmered on the horizon of Barth's theory, like a secret that was not apparent but audible, signifiable. I'll see you in class, he said, his voyage through the laws of language and writing thus to decipher. Yes, she replied, presumptuous. You will. He paused at her voice, that sly provocation, and smiled at her, his student who sat on the floor, the book laid open. She breathes on 4, as taught, and in for 3, and up for 1, eyes open on under, she swims, she thinks. She watched him walk between the stacks, the book in hand, a piece of paper white in the back pocket of his jeans. She closed her book and sat alone inside that aisle, that cool blue floor, those book walls rising and extending, as yet unscaled. She sensed the space around, the dimension defined by his absence. Absence, she considers ab, essa, away, plus to be away. So simple it seems, except she questions who is away and from what. She swims inside that word, absence, the volume originating, erupting from that single point. The man swims past. He'd left the space, she thinks, that aisle where she remained, surrounded by books, words contained, bound, the mirage of the body. He'd physically left the place they'd shared, whereas he, the other, at home in bed, was present in body, but gone to be away from self. That absence had no boundary limit, was taken only inside itself, protected from her physical touch, ulterior other she who could have returned him away to their departure that night with him in the library, presuming the absence was different. Absence then was flow, exchange, and effloresce, a wanting toward desire. She hadn't felt it in years, she thinks, that lack, her needing, not since their child was born until that night. She thought she'd never feel it again. Thanks.